only yesterday, so I'm still half asleep myself. But I'm glad to be with you, Cam. I've been looking around to see if I can recognise some of you. I haven't been in Australia very much for about 5 years. You know how I can tell who you belong to by the look on your faces. Some of you look like your parents. That's strange, isn't it? Some of you don't want to look like your parents. Say amen. Brother Kura said yeah. All right. So I'm glad to be with you at camp. I was thinking outside there in the tent this afternoon. I've been counting all the camps I've preached at. Who's been to more than 20 camps? Put your hand up. 20? 30? Okay. I've preached at 720. So you've got a ways to catch up, amen? I think I'm camped out. I haven't run out of ideas yet, because the Bible's a big book. But I've chosen a subject for tonight, and I've entitled it Speaking with a Forked Tongue. Amen? Speaking with a forked tongue. And the reason for this message tonight is the fact that we're living in an era where the world is training you to bend your tongue. Everything that the devil has invented in the last 15 years has been designed to wreck your life using your tongue. I told the boys and girls a story. I had a lady in my church who talked too much many years ago, and one day she came forward and she said, "Pastor, I've come forward to put my tongue on the altar." I said, "Madam, the altar is not long enough for your tongue." So let's go back home and work on it, because I'm not so sure you want to give it up yet. Amen? And so the tongue is a very deadly weapon. And I want us to look at mostly two scriptures tonight. So take your Bible, go with me to the book of James first. The book of James. And chapter 3, and I want us to do something at this camp, if you would please. We're most of us that are here love the Lord, amen? We know him, we love him. Some of you may not be Christians, I don't know. But let's try and be really honest at this camp. If you have a problem with what I speak about, I want you to deal with it. But we're not coming to camp just to swim at the river, amen? But the most important thing here is that you go home with an honest heart, saying, "I came to camp, something changed, and I intend to keep it changed." Amen? Otherwise, you really wasted everybody's time, including mine and everyone that lead us who made time to come here. Let's be really honest. I was preaching this almost the same message to the junior camp here, and one little girl in the front row, she had her hand up. I was only 10 minutes into it. She said, "Brother Angus," he said, "I've got a problem with my tongue." Can you believe that? She blurted it right out. You know what she said? She said what most of you should have said a long time ago, but you didn't want to say it. Amen? Amen? She would have been, what, 10 maybe? She spoke from her heart. She said, "I had a problem. And I'm only 10. Amen? And how old are you? And maybe your problem's run away from you already. It's run away and you can't catch it again. So this is all designed to help you. Now, when I was your age, I didn't have to battle a tenth of the things that you have to battle now. I didn't have to deal with it. There was no social media. There wasn't even black and white TV when I was 15. Amen? I had to watch it through a shop store window to watch the first cowboy film in black and white. It was The Lone Ranger or something. I forget what it was. But listen to me. You have things to deal with that are 100 times more difficult to process and to decide whether you want to stick with it or not. So I admire you. I realize you're under a lot more pressure than I was. But nonetheless, You've been given a brain. Say amen. You have a Bible. Amen. Amen. So you have a guidebook. You have the Spirit of God. So you have all the tools. Amen. And then you have all the correct instructions. You with me? So there's really no excuse. So we did have the same problem. You and I both have a tongue. Amen? And I've used mine at times, and I'm ashamed to tell you that I wish, you know, once it gets out there, you can't get it back. Amen? A young boy, the story goes, a young boy had a terrible tongue. He was about 14. He hated his mother. He had a long tongue. He gave his mother a hard time every day. And one day, his father got sick of it. And he said, "Son, I want you to take your pillow from your bed, put it under your arm, and you come with me." They climbed up a 15-story building in the city. The father got out a pocket knife, and the son thought, "He's going to kill me." Amen? And the father proceeded to tell him, he said, "Now, I'm really sick and tired of the way you're speaking to your mother. Now," he said, "give me that pillow." He cut the pillow open, he took his son to the edge of the top of the building, right on the edge where they could see all the traffic, and he tore the pillow open, and a million feathers blew all over town. And the son stood there, still trying to figure out what daddy's doing. And his daddy said, "Now you go and collect every one of those feathers, son." He said, "What?" He said, "Well, every word that's come out of your mouth, your bitter little mouth, every little word, cannot be taken back." Amen? Amen? So do you see how much damage you've done, son? And every time a little gust of wind comes, it blows further. Hello? Hello? The son went home, and his daddy washed his mouth out with sunlight soap. And I think the boy learned his lesson. Keep your mouth shut if you've got nothing honest to say. Amen? So we're going to learn some things, and I want you to write them all down, and hopefully it will do something in your life. James chapter 3 and verse 3. "Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and when we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, little, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." And the tongue is a fire, a world, not just a little place, a world of iniquity. "And so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body." You see what I said before? It's going to affect your whole body. "And it setteth on fire the course of nature." And it is set on fire of where? Of where? Thank you. "For every kind of beast, of the birds and of the serpents and of the things of the sea, is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren," talking to Christians, "my brethren, these things," let's read it together, "ought not to so be." Let's pray tonight. As I pray, you pray. And don't ask me later, "Were you preaching at me if you were here?" Yes, I was. Amen? Amen? You're the audience. I have people call me all the time, "Are you preaching at me this morning?" I said, "Were you there?" "Yeah, you were there?" "Oh, yes, I was preaching to you." Amen? So, let's pray that God would speak to us through this message in His Word. Amen? Thank you, Father, for these good young people. This is a serious matter now. And, Father, we live in a world where everybody has to know everybody's business. We live in a world, Father, where there's no privacy left. We live in a world, Father, where it's easy to hurt somebody with our tongue. We live in a world, Father, where we then excuse ourselves because we think we've told the truth. Father, make us honest Christians here tonight. Help us at this camp to make some rules, to learn some principles that will last until we die. For the sake of God, for the sake of humanity, for the sake of Christianity, for the sake of being a good witness, and Father, for the sake of being used by God to do something greater than to talk about nothing. Help us, dear God, to be alert tonight and honest. In Jesus' name, amen. Speaking with a forked tongue. Well, all of us, we know what damage our tongue can do. The problem tonight, young people, is this. We learn to defend ourselves even when we said the wrong thing. Even when we said things that aren't true. I want to show you another text, just a few pages over in 1 Peter. And maybe you've read this and read this and read this and never noticed this passage. 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 verse. Let none of you, and he's talking about Christians, go back to verse 12. What's the first word? What's the first word? Beloved. Who was that? Christian. This is to Christians. Amen? Only to Christians. Alright, go back to verse 15. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Now, I want you to notice something. There are four things mentioned there. Four. The first two are pretty serious, we think. But what we forget to realize is that the last two things are grouped in with the first two worst things. Now, God could have put any four things there. Any four. Amen? But he chose to add the gossipers with the murderers. Can you believe this? How do Christians murder people? I'll tell you how they do it. They do it with their tongue. Now, open your mouth up. Open it up. Grab hold of your tongue. And now try and talk. Say, hello. How are you doing? It's hard to keep a hold of it, isn't it? Huh? It's slippery, amen? It's the slippery part that gets you into trouble. You understand? The saliva. It keeps it nice and wet and moist so you can keep talking and doing more damage. Amen? Amen? Maybe if we could get a lock and key on it, it might work for us. Here's the problem. When you talk about people, you can easily cross a line and assassinate the character of that person. This is assassinated. You understand me? I've heard Christians say some pretty cruel things to each other. Like, I can't fellowship with you because this happened or that happened. So we can't fellowship. But really nothing happened. It's just you didn't like the other person. You understand me? So you make a choice. You make a judgment. You made it with your mouth. Then we get on the telephone and we assassinate people with half-truths, things that are half-true. Amen? To tell you something, young people, you have no business talking about anybody. Talk about something else. Amen? Find something useful to talk about. Because when you talk about others, really, it ends up that you say too much. We don't know when to stop, do we? Do we? We don't know. Nobody I know, can control themselves that well that they know when to stop. They've all had experiences where they went too far, and listen, if it's not the tongue, they listen too much. Hello? These two are brothers. You understand? Maybe you're very quiet, but you listen to too much gossip. What's the difference? What's the difference? None. None. One area comes out, the other area goes in. What's the difference? None. You can gossip while saying nothing, because you're listening. You with me? Now, we want to really think about this tonight. A murderer assassinating the character of another Christian. Did you know that single-handedly you can say things about another Christian that causes other Christians never to trust them again? Did you know that? People have done it to me many times. Oh, Brother Ranga, he preaches too hard. Brother Ranga this, Brother Ranga that. It's all right. Hey, to me, it's like water off a duck's back. But to them, they have to live with it. Are you with me? They have to live with it. When I was pastoring, I had a good policy. I needed to know what was on people's minds. So I let them have their say. Once they had finished spilling all the beans, they had to live with it. Amen? Amen? You've got to live with it. Hey, once all the feathers are out, it's too late. Can't fetch them back. You can say sorry, and God will forgive you. Okay? The other guy might forgive you, but are you going to get all the feathers back? Never. Never. So what is gossip really about? Look at me. What is gossip really about? It's about you. It's about getting attention. You need attention. You want attention. Amen? Now, some people wear stupid clothing to get attention. Some people have stupid hairdo to get attention. Some people have weird makeup to get attention. Some people do things to get attention. But most people who gossip do it because there's no other way to get attention. You can say amen. Some of you like that. In a group this size, there's a few like that. In any church, anything. You're doing it because you can't get attention. So your tongue's flapping at 100 miles an hour. You don't care who you damage. You don't care what you say. All right? It's just that you have some interesting little morsel of truth that has to be passed on. Now, is it only for young people? No. Many pastors have this problem. Many pastors' wives have this problem. They're endless rattlers. Amen? Rattlers. You almost have to wear earplugs when you're near them. They're rattlers about nothing. So gossiping, number one, you can murder people to the point where others do not trust them. Now, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes if you've done that to another Christian. If you've assassinated their character, and now nobody wants to speak to them, nobody wants to use them to serve God, because you blabbed about it, and then you didn't even know it was true. You heard it on the grapevine. Boy, that's a lot, the vine's pretty long, amen? You heard it. You don't even know if it's all true. But then you heard it, and then you did something worse. You took it in, you processed it, and added a little spice of your own. You become a herbalist all of a sudden. You've added the spices to it, amen? I heard about Susie. I heard, and then there's something else I want to tell you about. That's the part you added. Now, I want you to imagine there's a table here, and there's 15 bowls of soup, all different. Okay? And you have got your beak in every bowl of soup. And yet they only gave you one bowl. But your beak's in every bowl. Amen? That's gossiping. You have to know everything about everybody. And everything the devil has invented in the last 15 or 20 years is to increase your ability to talk about others. Or increase your ability to get knowledge about others. Or increase your ability to hear things, even if you don't want to speak, just to hear things about others. Everything is invented. Twitter, Facebook, internet, the whole lot. It's all designed around you, and none of it is designed around Christ. It's all about me. Me, 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 me. You understand? And so when you assassinate somebody, I would not like to be in your shoes. Why? Go back to that verse in James. Go back a few pages to James. Verse 9, chapter 3. Was the Savior with blessed with God with our tongue, even the Father, and therewith what? First we men, which are made after the similitude of God, with the same tongue. The same tongue. You say something good, and then you say something bad. You say something good about one person, and you curse the next guy. Now listen to me, there's a big difference between saying something like, you know, this group of people, they're liberal people, and we can't work with them. Look, that's not gossip. That's a fact and a truth, amen? And when you start singling out people, then you better know the whole story. And you better know both sides of the story. And you better know that if you can't fix the problem, you have absolutely no business to even say a single word or touch that subject. So that's the principle I've made in my life. If I don't intend to fix it, and I don't intend to climb up to that person face to face, I'm not going to talk about it. Are you with me? Are you with me? You understand? So if you can't fix it, and you don't intend to see them face to face, that's the beginning of gossip. Right there. Now, are we all guilty? Are we all guilty? Okay. Do we intend to do something to fix it? Look, that's up to you, isn't it? I can't fix your problem, amen? I can't fix it. You know what your problem is. I can't fix it. So, if you say one blessing and with the same mouth, the same tongue, you curse other people. Now, go back to Peter with me, and let's look there. It says, not only murderers, but thieves. Thieves. We are grouped. Gossipers are grouped in with murderers and thieves. Do Christians steal? Look at me. Do Christians steal? No? You must be blind. I used to preach in my church. 3/4 of the people didn't tithe. I used to preach to 3/4 of thieves. Every Sunday. Hello? Now say yes. Do Christians steal? Say yes. God said it. Read it in the Old Testament. He said it. You come to my house and you're thieves. You keep what is mine, you're thieves. You know, it's hard to preach to thieves. Because they've already come to church pretending to be good, right? And you're preaching to thieves. They've convinced themselves that they've spent the money on something. I bought a Christian book or something, blah, blah, blah. So I've stolen it from God. But I'm here, Pastor. Talk to me about something spiritual. No, you're a thief. Sorry. And that's why most pastors get nothing done in their churches. They're preaching to a house full of thieves. How is a thief going to go out soul winning when he's stealing from God the next day at church? Hello? I'm just telling you the group that you're connected to, you being a busybody, okay? Murderers and thieves. And then? And how many of you young people are thieves? Spend all your money on your telephone gossiping, and then on Sunday you say to God, oh, there's nothing left in my pocket. No, you're a thief as well. You're a big thief. You're at the top of the list. You spend all your money talking about nothing, and then you try and pretend and tell God you have no money. When you gave it all away for your favorite pet little sin. What a nice group to be in, amen? Murderers. Thieves. Who's this talking to again? Tell me. Look at verse 12, just to make sure. Verse 12, first word. Who's it talking to? We're almost ashamed to say it, aren't we? We're almost ashamed to admit it. But he says, I don't want you to suffer. Because these Christians I'm describing are suffering because of their own stupidity and sin. I don't want you to be one of them. That's what he's saying. So next time you don't give your money to God, don't make excuses. You stole. Hello? Hello? You stole it. You had it. But you had to spend it on something more important. Amen? Like the internet, phone, something. Amen? Be careful here. When you lie to God, he doesn't forget things. You might, but he doesn't. Amen? Only when he forgives you does he forget them. Let's look a little further. It says, don't suffer as an evil doer. An evil doer. Now, these things that God is describing, you know what they really are? They're things that we have become addicted to. We are in the most addicted era in the history of mankind. We are. You better mark it down. And I hate to say this, I hate to say it. When I think that this generation has to reach the rest of the world, it makes me shudder. Because this generation is so much in bondage. Are you boys listening or talking at the back there? Listen to me. This generation is so much in bondage and addiction that if you're going to reach the world, it's going to take a massive upheaval. God's going to have to stand you on your head and drive something through the right through your legs and up through your body, through your brain to change you. If you're going to reach the rest of the world and finish the job, God help all of us. God help all of us. The caliber of people that we have now is nowhere near the ones we had in the 50s and 60s. Even then it was bad. But we're nowhere near them. We're on the way out. Out. So when we talk here about people giving an evil report, what on earth does that mean? Well, the Jewish people were often accused by the Lord Jesus, and he could tell the truth, amen? They were accused of petty things like evil doing, telling evil stories about people, just generally evil things, amen? Now, I've described some of them so that you can write them down, but these are addictions that we have. To have an evil report means you're becoming a little judge. A little judge. You're starting to become a little judge. Think about that. Another word that can be used for the word meddling is another word you can use in giving an evil report. And then we come to the last one here. It says, busy bodies in what? In what? Whose matters? Say it again. Well, what business do you have in other men's matters? That's what it's saying. Amen? Another word that we use here is meddling in other people's business. Now, when we gossip, listen to me. When we gossip, you know what you're really saying? You're saying, I'm better than this. That's what you're saying. You're saying, I wouldn't do this, that's why I'm telling you. I'm just making sure that you know I would never do this. But I can tell you this, Johnny did this. So then suddenly you're above everybody else. Maybe you never looked at it that way, amen, but that's what you're saying when you talk about other people's business. The first thing you're doing unconsciously is defending yourself. You're defending what you think you are. And who do you think you are? Amen? Who do you think you are? And where did it say that the words come from out of your mouth? Where do they come from? Hell. So where do they come from? Hell. Not heaven. Not heaven. They come from hell. Other men's business. And where do we find the time to do this, young people? We found the tool to do it, but where do we find the time to do this? I mean, I travel the trains like you do. I travel buses. I travel on ships and boats around the world. Last year I made 5 laps around that world there, 5 times around. I've heard a lot of stuff I didn't want to hear. Yap, 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 yap. All the way for hours and hours on a bus going through the mountains in South America. I can just see 2 people. I mean, they're going at it. What are they doing? They're talking about someone else. And all along, unconsciously, they're defending themselves. I would never do this. But I want you to know, I know somebody who does this all the time. Who do you think you are, young person? That's the question. Who do you think you are? Amen? Get serious here. You want to be treated as an adult, do you? You want people to think you're an adult? You shut your mouth if you don't know what you're talking about. Keep it closed. Zip it up. Because you're destroying somebody else. And then you make it right by saying, oh, well, it's the truth, isn't it? No, that has nothing to do with you. God has a big enough stick to deal with those people, and he's never needed my help or your help. Say amen. Did you help God to create the world? Yes or no? No. So does he need your help to discipline someone else? Yes or no? No. In fact, he doesn't need me at all. I'm just every day is a bonus for me. Amen. He doesn't need me. He can blow me off just like that and somebody else take my place, brother. Amen. I don't have to think I'm so great that I know everything about everybody to solve every problem. But you are in an era where the devil has invented machinery that is really driving you to open your mouth when it's not supposed to be open. And you've got to watch out for that. Busybodies. Mixed up with all the others in there. And what's the end of all this? What's the end of all this? Maybe you've never read this passage. Look at verse 19 in 1 Peter 4. Verse 17. 2 verses later. For the time has come that what? Judgment must begin where? At the house of God. At the house of God. And then it says, in case you think you're such a great person, it says, judgment will begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, that's us, what shall the end be for them that obey not the gospel of God? If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Listen to me. You know what? You are scarcely saved. You know what that means? You scraped into heaven by the skin of your teeth. The grace of God scraped you in by the skin of your teeth. Don't make out you're such a holy person if you're on the phone all the time assassinating other Christians. You just barely made it in. I barely made it in, amen? So I say, every day as I say, praise God, it's a bonus, I'm still breathing. So whenever you think you're a big shot, or you're so spiritual, or blah, 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 or someone gave you a promotion at church, think again. Don't look at the title, look at your character. Never mind the title, amen? In heaven, God will take that title off you. Quick smart. Then I'll say, let's put that aside. Now let's look deep within here. The judgment will begin at the house of God. So where's the problem going to be addressed? At church. A group of believers. Wherever you go to church. That's where the judgment must begin. And you can start all that right here at camp. Because you take a good look at yourself, amen? Have a good look at yourself here. Assess yourself between 1 and 10 as a Christian. Some young person, as I was traveling, asked me a question, a really interesting question. We always like to have question time, amen? His voice stood up and he said, Brother Anger, how do I know how spiritual I am? Now, you think about that. Is that a trick question? No, he's just asking. Amen? And what would you say? What would you say? Huh? I read my Bible every day, I tithe, I go to church, I'm faithful, I'm serving. Does that make me a good Christian? No. The Mormons do that.
Right.
The JWs do that.
Right.
They even look better than we do. So where do we stand? I said to that young man, I said, look, I need to go home and think about what I'm going to say before I open my mouth and say something stupid, amen? Amen? Even though I'm 50 years older than you,